You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You know, and one of the things that's hard, I mean, this is very similar. Brewing is very similar to the music industry. You know, people that are the consumer or the fan see the fun and see the party. You know, they don't see the 8-hour drive. They don't see load in. They don't see load out. And it's very similar in brewing. They don't see the waiting around for the late truck to show up with your cans. They don't see the you're broken down. They don't see the, oh, the electricity went out and I can't do anything today. Because when we face the public, it's with a smile, you know, and no matter how hard your day is, somebody else might have had a worse day than you, and they're coming to the show, and they're coming to have a beer to get rid of their bad day.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. Hope you had a killer week. I most certainly did. I had such a blast at the 5-year anniversary party that just took place this past Saturday at Mutaid here in Montreal, one of my favorite craft beer bars. I had such a blast connecting with Snake and Away from Voivod. What an honor it was to have them be there for a live podcast recording. That episode will be coming up in the next week or two. Very stoked to get that together and to share it with all of you. Massively stoked about the response of the Metal Injection Presents Vox and Hops Pit Culture Brews that dropped. Huge cheers to all the Quebec-based breweries that collaborated with Vox and Hops in the Pit Culture project. I am super, super stoked. These brews will start distribution now, so if you are in the province of Quebec, you can go and hunt them out and gather all 5 of them to help celebrate the 5 years of Vox and Hops, enjoying 5 killer Pit Culture brews. Very, very stoked. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal is Montreal's premier metal promoter. If you are ever in Montreal and you are looking for a great metal show to go to, well, trust me, Heavy Montreal will have you covered. They put on a bunch of killer shows all year long. They are simply the best. Goddamn stoked to have them behind the podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I would love for you to tell a friend about the podcast. If there's someone in your life that just loves extreme music, that just loves craft beer, well, you should absolutely let them know that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. If you would encourage one of your craft beer loving metalhead friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today's podcast is a very special one. It consists of a bunch of content which I recorded while I was on tour with Cryptopsy, the Carnival of Death tour, which just wrapped up a few weeks ago. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 432 with Andrew Tremblay, the artist, Evan Welch of Whispers from the Void podcast, Tony Bellis of KCBC, and Sam Riggins of Cosmic Eye.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Here we are, everyone. This is a very cool episode. My first episode back on a tour bus. I'm sure you can hear in the background the pleasant hum of the generator that rocks me to sleep at night that I've been missing since 2019. I am joined by 2 wonderful friends. We are at the first show at the Jewel in Manchester, New Hampshire. 2 friends that I've had for a long time, someone that I've been wanting to have on the podcast for a very long time, someone that the podcast would not look the same if it wasn't for his relationship, and then another friend that we've never actually hung out and drank a beer together in the flesh because we are Thirsty Thursday friends. Starting with the visual aspects of the podcast, we got Andrew Tremblay, the graphic artist. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. This is really cool. Nice to actually be sitting down and doing this finally.
I'm very excited. And we have Evan Welch that's here. How are you doing, Evan?
I'm doing pretty good. You?
He's half of the Whispers from the Void podcast. I'm doing pretty good. We typically have Phil, who's not with us, sadly, because he's up in Quebec City, but I'll hang out with him and maybe grab him for an episode 2.
I mean, you're going to have to. He's going to be very jealous when he hears this. We are luckily about to drink a cool beer, which Andrew brought for us. It's from Allagash. Here, why don't you present it to the listeners?
All right. Among some of the other beers, this is just the Allagash Haunted House. It is a hoppy dark ale, which notably has 6.66% alcohol. So it's fitting for the time of the year and the show that we're about to be experiencing tonight. Yeah, it's delicious, really well-balanced, good body. I like how bitter it is with the... I like the malt and the bitterness of it. It's not like a sweet ale, and I think this balances out very nicely. I think I haven't had a lot of beers like it.
Interesting. Well, I'm very excited. I'm going to crack it open, serve it up to the three of us at that moment. What is your relationship with Allagash? Do you have any relationship, Evan Welch?
Allagash White. Allagash White was, I would say, one of the first craft beers I had in my young adult life. Maybe a little sooner than 21, but... I drank that a lot. It was a good camping beer. But as far as anything else from Allagash, I just haven't been that big of a fan.
Really?
Yeah.
What else have you had?
To be honest with you, I couldn't really tell you.
I've been
to the brewery a bunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Been to the brewery a bunch.
Is it the Belgian ale style that you're not...
You know, yeah, I'm really not in the realm of, like, lights. Like, I like dark,
heavy. Well, this is very different then.
Yeah.
Amazing. Let's do a little cheers. No one's going to hear anything because I did not bring proper glassware, sadly, so we'll pretend.
Clink.
Just very stoked to be hanging out with you guys, tasting this very special beer that we hypothetically might like. I'm enjoying.
Hypothetically? I know I like it, so it's fun.
That's delicious. That's got a lot of bitters to it, huh? Hoppy dark ale. I love it.
Seriously, it's the maltiness of it. It's like you get like the rich kind of like chocolatey, cocoa-y notes. But it's not a sweet beer, and it's also super, you know, an easy drinkability. It's really nice.
I'm stoked about it. It is very crushable. The maltiness comes through beautifully. Hoppy bite, which is always enjoyable in a dark beer. When I started the podcast, my wife, Jessica, the producer of the podcast, thought it was very important to have a visual aesthetic, a brand for the podcast, and I'm very lucky that a good friend, James, from the Thirsty Thursday gang, knew you, had worked with you, and introduced us, and you basically hit it out of the park right away. Andrew, talk to me about designing the Vox and Hops logo. We wanted something metal that was still super legible and readable, and then coming up with the hop head, as I call it.
Right. Essentially... It's not like an old thing where it's like, how do you keep the aesthetic of metal without it being like so over the top that you possibly alienate other people that just don't want to try to figure out what they're reading? But it's like, this was not a particularly complicated one for me. It's like, this is simple. It's like, I get the idea. It's like, we're trying to bridge and the gap between, you know, just metal fans and beer fans, and this is for both of them. And you know, there's a lot of interesting brand things that you see in beer. I just think this was an interesting correlation because I like drawing stuff. It's very simple, it's very lowbrow, but it's very honest. I don't know. It was fun.
Evan, do you remember your first exposure to seeing the aesthetics of Vox and Hops and what your initial thoughts were?
That's going to make a great tattoo. Yeah, so I got, when you first came out with that, really with the visual, I loved it. The first thing I thought of was just the hop with the skull face. Obviously, it's got like a skull and almost like the skull and crossbones, but he's got the microphones, you know, with some like a real realism feel to it. I just thought it was really awesome. I was really impressed with it.
It's like I wanted it to go back to like those classic emblems that you would see from like the early death metal kind of things. It's like Stormtroopers of Death, or even though they're not death metal, but it's like I like that classic 80s, 90s kind of branding and image for metal bands, because also it is super, I don't want to say approachable, but it's accessible. People enjoy it. It looks cool. That's really all there is to it.
It's kind of like that the early thrash guys, like the big four, everybody had like their own logo.
Oh, of course, it
became so iconic.
Like DRI and like all of them. It's like, you know those symbols. You've seen them everywhere. And that's kind of the concept with the logo.
Eddie's face with Iron Maiden.
Oh, of course.
It is. I'm very grateful that Jessica pushed me to invest in creating assets that I've used time and time again, but in different fashions. And there's a few key things that you've done over the course of the podcast, such as the hop vines, which we see underneath, are basically, you made a long sleeve design.
That's so cool that you actually got them. They actually turned out really well. That's
you had
really
made a
long
sleeve design for the 1 year anniversary, where you also expanded upon the creation of the hop demon.
The hop robot guy.
The hop robot guy.
I remember that.
Where I was like, you know, Iron Giant. And you were like, I love that movie growing
up. It's a great movie.
Perfect, perfect. So you understand all the time. So just key elements that I've used and reused and repurposed for so many things. And having the importance of having a brand identity. I'm happy that Jessica pushed me early on to do that, because I would have just hypothetically just done something much more simple.
Well, I appreciate the consideration and the hookup. That's really cool.
when you're not designing logos and designing hop demons for Vox and Hops, what do you typically work on? Give people a little bit of a background, a picture as to what Andrew Tremblay does day to day.
Well, I design logos and demons for a lot of other bands. That's pretty much it. I'm very fortunate. I worked with a lot of great bands. It's like designing logos, doing artwork and stuff, including it's like Imperial Triumphant was for the longest time my longest running client there for a very long time. I did their logo, their first one or second generation, as well as the new one that they're still using now. It's like I've worked with artists like Ghost. I've done logos and t-shirts
really?
For him. Yeah,
see, that's cool. That's much cooler than Cryptopsy and Matt.
I don't know. I was always wondering. It's sort of like, why doesn't he ask me to do a Cryptopsy thing?
We just haven't gotten there. Is that? Oh, we have more beer friends coming to say hi to us. Lucas is here. In case people aren't aware, I opened up a doorway for Vox and Hopsheads to bring me some craft beer, local craft beer, to in exchange for guest lists.
It's a good trade.
It worked out
really
well.
It's a
really
good trade.
I'm enjoying myself. What beers did you bring, Evan? Because you're quite a proficient hophead yourself.
I ended up picking from a brewery that I love, Imperial Brewing Company. They are also sole purpose.
We're going to keep hanging out. I'm doing a multiple person episode that I'm going to craft somehow after this tour has ended, because I got to play a show with it a little bit, but we're going to hang out a little bit. I'm going to get ready to play, and a pleasure just having you on the podcast, both of you.
Hey, likewise. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Massive cheers. Here I am with Tony Bellis at KCBC. Say the full name, because I always say KCBC, and I'm always a little bit confused.
We say KCBC too. the long name's Kings County Brewers Collective.
The collective is what gets me off at the end all the time.
I know, yeah. It's a hard one. That's why we just, you know, it's KCBC now.
I love it. I am in Brooklyn because Cryptopsy is on tour. Today's actually the release date of As Gamora Burns. Very, very excited to be celebrating that. But you guys are celebrating something quite big this weekend as well, and that's your 7th anniversary. So let's touch on that.
Yeah.
Talk to me about making it to 7 years and what that feels like, and then we can talk about the beer we're drinking.
Cool. 7 years. It's insane. I wrote a rent check yesterday, and we're actually into the 8th year of our lease. And I was like, how did it go 8 years already? We're a brewery here in Brooklyn, New York, in the Bushwick neighborhood. We do all kinds of different beers, and we've been at it since 2016. So, we've got a cool tap room here in Bushwick, and make a wide variety of beers, and just like to have fun with it.
I can tell you guys like to have fun. What are we drinking right now? It's a Hell's. What's the name here? The names are always very interesting, so I like this.
Yeah, our names are always, who knows what they are sometimes. This is Wheel of Misfortune. This is a Hell's Lager. Yes. Just like light, easy drinking, crushable.
Super crusher.
Yeah. It's, you know, probably 4.2%.
I love it.
Super easy drinking. Perfect for it's hot and humid in Brooklyn today.
We're going to sweat it out at the Meadow. That's
you,
for sure.
You are going to have a hot night on stage.
Cheers for hanging out with me.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for meeting.
Bring people to the concept, the idea, brewer's story. How did you end up 7 years into a successful brewery? What was that first home brew? It's always that story that you didn't want to pay for beer, but you liked beer. That's typically what brewers say. I'm not sure if that's your story. Yep. I'd love to hear it.
100% my story. I've just always kind of been into beverages and food, and I worked in the coffee world for a long time.
Okay, very cool.
For over a decade, and started home brewing while I was living in California, and moved back to Brooklyn in like 2010. And I'd been, you know, dabbled in home brewing in California. I moved back here and just kind of like completely fell into it. And knew I wanted to start a business someday. My wife and I kind of had dreams of that. And, you know, originally thought I was going to start a coffee roasting company. And at the same time as I was working on a business plan for that, I was going down the home brewing rabbit hole. And very quickly, I was like, we should open a brewery instead.
The boom was right there too.
Well, the boom was right there. And I think really the trigger for me was seeing some smaller breweries open. There's a great brewery here just outside of Queens in Long Island called Barrier Brewing. They're really one of the first breweries I knew of that you'd call a nano brewery. They're brewing one barrel at a time and just like brewing 7 days a week in these small batches. And it was a real eye opener to me.
Just heart and soul into a product.
Yeah, because I think, you know, most other breweries I've gone into seemed really big and really expensive and really daunting.
Totally,
you know,
true.
So I didn't see it as something. I was like, I don't know how to get
something
into that.
Something that you could build.
Yeah, so it was cool seeing somebody, you know, do it on a smaller scale, and that really triggered me, you know, so yeah.
The brand is interesting. It's definitely what enticed me to come and connect with you.
Yeah.
I feel like either you had already been communicating to me because of the metal and the beer, but at what point did KCBC associate those two loves of your life?
I think, you know, I started with the brewery with my two business partners at the time, and we all kind of have, you know, different passions. And I think we tried to really infuse all of that. You know, I've been a metalhead since I was 9, since I got that first Motley Crue record. And, you know, so I always thought it'd be fun to do something with that, you know, and I saw breweries like Three Floyds and True that were kind of, you know, putting that into their ethos of how they did it. You know, but there was three of us as business partners, you know, so we all kind of had like different artistic things that we liked. And so we've just kind of like incorporated it in as like a piece of what we do.
So you brought the metal. What would be the other interests that fell into the ethos?
Comics and film.
Which falls into the can art.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, my, you know, the one business partner had a friend who was a illustrator and cartoonist, and his name's Earl Holloway. So we started looking as we opened and we wanted to start canning beer. We're like, you know, we knew we wanted somebody to do illustration, not like a graphic design project, but somebody, you know, hand drawing things. And he's like, hey, you should look at my friend's art. And we saw it and we're like, done. Like, this guy's awesome. So he's been doing all of our art since day one, a couple little exceptions. Really, the exceptions are usually beers that we collaborate with bands on.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, we've, you know, often used art that they've, you know, had artists do for them, or have somebody do something custom that they've worked with before. So that's kind of a cool way of us, like, you know, bringing that in. But yeah, and then, you know, so, you know, and then film, you know, my one partner, Zach, you know, he had a background in theater and advertising, and, you know, he went, you know, went to school for theater, and he's a film buff. So we do a lot of film things. We do, you know, a lot of film puns. And then, you know, Earl, who's the artist, he's a comic book nerd. and a sci-fi nerd. So there's a little film, little comics, little metal, little sci-fi, you know, so we kind of do a little bit of everything,
which is all things that overlap
in they do.
People that are interested in one or the other of those three things will definitely, the Venn diagrams overlap.
Yeah, if you have those four, like, people are going to be into at least two of them.
Exactly. Which it's super, super cool, and it works. It works. Speaking of putting art on the can that you didn't design, you did do that for Vox and Hops for Devastation on the Nation.
Yeah,
It came through at St. Vitus. Talk to me about that project. I don't remember the beer because I didn't do my homework before sitting down.
I don't remember the beer either.
Was it an IPA?
I think it was an IPA. And now I'm trying to, like, I don't even remember what the lineup was.
It was Borknagar.
That's right.
With Rotting Christ.
Yep.
And other bands. I've said it countless times on the podcast, but
I know, and I actually remember the night.
Vale of Nath. Abigail Williams and Storm Ruler.
That's right. It was a really hot show at Vitus. I remember that.
Yes.
I remember Rotting Christ being on stage and just like dripping like the wettest hair ever.
And that's good for headbanging, actually.
Yeah, it is. So
collabs with bands. Talk to me about making collabs with bands. It represents your part of the ethos, but what bands have you worked with and what dream band would you like to work with?
That's a good one. Done some collab beers, did one with Gate Creeper, Behemoth, Revocation. Who else?
You did just drop. I had just sat down with Dave when you were dropping.
I think he's going to come by tonight.
Oh, we should tell him to come by to my place, actually.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't invite him. I should have. Yeah. Sorry, Dave.
No, there's a bunch of bands I'd love to. We need to do a Cryptopsy beer at some point.
Whatever.
I'd love to do a Municipal Waste beer at some point. Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Craft beer king.
I mean, the king of craft beer and metal right there.
I'm nipping at his heels.
I got to do something with Whitty at some point.
I love it.
Yeah, there's so many bands. You know, usually I just try, you know, at this point, I love to work with people who are also into craft beer. You know, that's the key. You know, it's like who's on tour that's trying to find the local breweries, you know, and find somebody that actually, you know, wants to do something interesting with it, you know. So
I love that. I love the mentality of it. I love that you're here 7 years in.
Yeah.
You got a big party to plan. So we're going to keep hanging out, but not with Vox and Hops heads listening.
Cool.
This is always a pleasure to hang out with brewers and to showcase their stories for the listeners. So I'm happy we had a chance.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsins? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of Death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode.
What's up, everyone here? We are in Nebraska. We're in Lincoln.
100%.
We are with Sam Riggins. He is putting on the show tonight, which is unbelievable because if I was anywhere near here playing a gig, I would come here. We are at Cosmic Eye Brewing. You literally just put out a beer today.
Literally just put out a beer, and we wanted to make this as much of a one-stop shop for you while you're in town as we could, dude.
totally worked out that way because I totally would have come here. Let's start with that. It's Vox and Hops. Hang out with my metal friends, talk about their lives and music, sharing a
craft beer. What is this beer that you've concocted and put together for the Metal Injection Presents Vox and Hops Pit Culture?
So this is a Berliner Weiss, which is a low ABV sour ale that originated in Berlin. There's a couple of different ways that you can enjoy this beer. You can do it straight up, or you can do it with syrups. You can either do it with raspberry syrup or a sweet Woodruff syrup. Looks like I screwed up here and didn't bring the straws, which are also the traditional way to serve these and drink these in Berlin. So if you're at a cafe in Berlin, you'd just kind of be sitting out in the sun on a warm day, sipping on some low ABV beers. And the syrup is just to kind of tap down the bitterness for people, or hell not yeah. bitterness, sourness.
Tart.
Yeah, they're tart, they're sour, and that syrup just kind of helps bring that tart down. So it's a little more refreshing. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Go get some straws, and we'll do it right way. We got
Let's
time.
Go get some straws.
Editing is wonderful. He's standing up. He's laughing. He's walking towards the bar. This is a cool place. If you've ever been here, I've never been here. The vibe is really cool. Long wooden tables that were made from, cut from a tree that was on Sam's property. The woodmanship of the tree is quite sick. It's very nice. He's got some straws. He's got a knife. He's cutting.
Switchblade.
He's got a switchblade. He didn't cut his fingers. He cut the straw, which is good.
All right, now that we're proper.
Okay, so which one's which? This one's the raspberry.
Yeah, the raspberry's a little bit pink, and the sweet Woodruff syrup's just a tints. It's just a little bit green.
Cool. Let's start with...
I like the Woodruff a little bit better than the raspberry.
Okay, let's try that. Cheers.
Cheers, my man.
Oh, no. Yeah, because I had it before just straight up, and the sweetness just kicks in there. It's really interesting.
And the Woodruff is just an interesting flavor, because it's like... It's a familiar herbaceousness, but it's also like you can't really put your finger on it because of the sweetness. Like it's familiar and very different, kind of all at the same time to me.
Very, very cool. Take another sip.
And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't shout out the name of this beer, which
you are correct. Yeah.
Stage Diving Grandma. So this is in honor of our good friend Dave Whitty's mom last year. She was 74 years old and did her very first stage dive.
At a municipal waste show.
At a municipal waste show. And, you know, I figured if we're doing beer names about pit culture, that it's one of the coolest things that I've seen in the last couple of years. And I know this guy like shown on Metal Injection a million times, so it's pretty cool to kind of tie it all in. So
I love it. And you wrote Dave and asked his permission.
Yeah, I hit the minute that you sent me this is the first thing that came to my mind, and I immediately hit Dave up, and he was like, dude, do it. So Sally, thanks for doing your part for heavy metal and beer culture.
Inspiring us.
And inspiring a lot of this. So cheers to you guys. We love the witties.
I love it. What about the hops that went into this? You remember Yakima Chief Hop hooks you up with a bunch of hops. Do you remember what hops went into this?
I didn't use any Yakima Chief hops in this.
Oh, shit.
Because I only used about 8 ounces of hops.
Okay.
So I had talked to those guys. We had actually run into them when we were out at Decibel Metal and Beer in Philly this last summer, spring. Time's weird. I don't know anymore. And we had talked to them about doing some different things, and they were like, well, it sounds like you don't need any hops at all for this. And I was like, no, I'm probably just going to throw something I have in just to get a little bit of bitterness. So we used a hop out of Michigan called Emerald Spire, but it's such a small volume, and really the tartness and sourness of this kind of takes over. So really the hop presence isn't even supposed to be noticed in this beer. So
interesting. Shout out to Yakima Chief Hops for hooking us all up. And just realizing that you don't even need us.
We use a ton of Yakima Chief cryo hops and all kinds of other beers that we use. I love their cryo hops, American Noble hops. We use a lot of those. So we just didn't use them in this beer.
That's okay. That's okay. Talk to me about Cosmic Eye. What's going on here? How many years has this been running? The vibe here is very, very chill, laid back, cool factor. And you're like, this is basically how I decorate my house. You said that to me when you showed me around before.
So
what's the story?
So sitting here today, 5 years ago, 5 years ago today would have been the second day of our soft opening.
Really?
So we did 2 days of soft openings for our industry friends. and just friends and family. And then we opened our doors for business on October 1st of 2018.
Oh, shit. So
yeah,
it's an anniversary coming up.
It's our anniversary. So, yeah. We cheat and do our anniversary party early so we don't have to fight Husker football for Saturdays and our anniversary party.
There you go.
So we have our fake anniversary in August, and then we have our real anniversary right now.
That's
what
so
better way than with the Carnival of Death tour
coming through?
Yeah, and, yeah.
you have just recently started putting on shows here with Cosmic Eye Live.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've differentiated the venue space from the brewery space. A lot of that is really, we're using this as all ages space, which might sound weird for a brewery. Man, kids need to go to shows. If we don't have kids going to shows, nobody's going to shows when they're 23 years old. So I wanted this to be a space, and we are a community space for everybody. So we're doing all ages shows here. And because of that, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, you can't advertise alcohol to people under 21. So we're differentiating the venue space a lot, primarily for social media ad purposes, but also not all of our customers are huge metalheads, and you know, bashing everybody's head down all the time with some of these shows. We really just wanted to be able to kind of keep branding and advertising the brewery as it is and start kind of a separate stream and separate idea for the venue. So
was it always a part of the concept 5 years ago when you opened to have a show space?
Yeah, so we originally weren't going to take as much space as we were planning on here. And in the back burner was always like, we could do a venue here. You know, we have so many friends in the industry. You know, and one of the things we always heard, I'd be like, why don't you guys play here? And they'd say, well, there's only a couple venues that we can play at. There's always holds. We can't get in. It's hard to book shows. It's hard to get a show here. And so it's always been in the back of my mind, you know, okay, like what do we do to change that? And so when we had all this extra space, we've got room for about 200 people in the back. So it's a great size room for heavy shows in this part of the country. And it's just always been on the back burner. We originally were going to start doing this right before COVID hit. And then I didn't spend the money on our gear. And then I ended up having to spend all that money just to stay open.
Yeah.
And so it's really been in pandemic kind of recovery time that we got enough money put together. I got a great deal on a really loud, rad PA. And then once we saw that happening, once we saw that we could, hey, we can afford this, we can afford this, we were like, let's just do it.
Oh, yes.
And so, yeah, we've done shows off and on for like anniversary parties. We've done some one-off shows here and there where we've rented PAs and lights, but it's so expensive. You know, you do a show, you rent a PA, you rent the lights, it's, you know, $1,500 and all of a sudden,
plus the guarantee.
Yeah. Plus paying bands, plus paying an engineer, plus paying our staff. And really we were just taking a bath every time we were doing shows. So we were always doing shows with either good friends locally that we knew we could get good draws from, or with just people that we knew and like really were friends with and respected a lot. But we take a hit every time we do it.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you've invested.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of this for me that, I'm a fan first and a business person on it second, you know, which, you know, might not be the best vibe all the time, but you know, I'm doing this because I love it. I love music, but I love heavy music the most. And we just want to fly the flag for that here in Nebraska.
I love it.
We want to be the destination for heavy music in Nebraska.
Well, you're making a good step towards that.
I've joked with people that I tell people we want to be the St. Vitus of the Great Plains. So
I love that.
That's our goal here. And we, you know, we see routing all the time. And you know, everybody's going from Twin Cities to Denver, Chicago to Denver, vice versa. And especially with people that have drivers, you know, you got to stop here. You know, you got to stop. You got to spend the night. So, you know, now you've got a place to stop halfway, play a show, You know, we're not going to draw what Chicago does. We're not going to draw what Minneapolis draws. Everybody knows this, but you got to show.
But you're very well taken care of.
And yeah, and we, you know, as a fan, I want to take care of everybody. I want everybody to be happy. And, you know, we're just here to spread the good word of the riff.
I love it. I love it. Let's taste this raspberry.
Yeah, let's hit the
version.
Raspberry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm interested. Now, for myself, raspberry is like the perfect adjunct.
Yeah, sometimes raspberry for me, while I don't dislike it, sometimes raspberry for me
delicious.
Gets that little bit of like that, like medicinal cough syrup.
Okay.
And it's always a fine line for me. We just put out a raspberry wheat beer this year. Oh my God. It's like it's 1996. It's a 1996 brew pub. So we put out this raspberry wheat this year. And one of the things I really struggled with on the first batch was having kind of that medicinal taste to it. But we've kind of changed how we've used the products that we're using and really kind of found a sweet spot for it. So I'm not getting that at all with this syrup in this beer.
No.
But that's always for me. I have a really weird sensitive palate to certain things, and that's always a thing that just jumps out to me. So I'm always scared to use raspberry, but I'm glad it works.
Talk about your beer concept. I've been visiting a lot of breweries throughout this tour.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's definitely an identity throughout the beer, too. So talk to me about your brewer's mindset.
Yeah.
And what beers you brew and why you brew them and what is the concept.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the thing that's important for me here, with so many new breweries, with so much hype beer in the market.
The chasing.
And, you know, people are always chasing these new things. People are all, and I'm all for experimentation. I'm all for people doing their thing, right? So sometimes when I talk about this, I think I come off like, you suck.
Man yells at cloud.
Right, yeah. Right. So, you know, there's 9,500 operating breweries in the United States now.
God damn.
And I always say, if we were all doing the same thing, wouldn't it be boring, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I love seeing what other people are doing. I might not want to drink it. I might not care about it. I'm stoked you're happy. I'm stoked the people you're selling it to are happy. That it's all good. But for me, I'm flying the flag for classic styles. But I'm also not just doing them straight up, you know. I want you to recognize something as what it should be, but we might be using a new different hop, or we might be like trying different techniques. So I'm not really like going out and, you know, I'm not just grabbing brewing classic styles and trying to clone recipes, you know. Pilsner Raquel's amazing. I don't need to remake that, right? They nailed it. They killed it
for hundreds of years,
right? You know, so I'm not trying to necessarily recreate anything. You know, it's like I just read an article the other day about the 50 worst ideas in movie history. And one of them was about Gus Van Sant. Is that the director's name?
That's definitely the director's name.
Yeah, yeah. So he redid Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho shot for shot in like 1998 or something like
really?
That. And like to me, and I went and watched it, and it was the weirdest thing you've ever seen, right? You're like, I've seen this movie, literally.
With different actors.
With different actors. Vince Vaughn was in it. So,
yeah.
And I think Anne Heche.
Yeah,
anyway.
100% right.
So like to me, going and trying to like recreate exactly something is very much like that to me. It's already been done. They killed it. There's no way that my dumb ass is going to do a better job at it, you know.
It's about 100 years of perfection.
Right. So
and they make the same beer every week.
Day in and out. They've got a lab.
Yeah.
They've got
fine-tuned machines.
Like, this is me in the brew house here. It's me and one other dude.
Really?
I do most of the wort production. He does most of the cellar work. And then Brittany, who's one of our bartenders, and Mandy, who's one of our bartenders, comes in and helps us do pack off.
God
so
darn, yeah.
It's me and one other dude that does all our production.
Mad hustle.
But yeah, I mean, I want you to recognize something as what it should be. But I always put my own spin on it.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, for us, classic styles, you know, I've got a hazy that pops in every once in a while. You know, we do a lot of collab beers. We've done a lot of collab beers with bands. We've done a lot of collab beers with you. We've done, and we've also done a lot of collab beers with local businesses that we're friends with. We do one with a tattoo shop in Omaha that we're friends with, tattoo shop in Lincoln that we're friends with. I do one every year for my barbershop's anniversary party. There's a skateboard shop here, Precision Skateboards. It's been open for, I think this is their 34th or 5th year.
Wow.
Maybe even 6th.
That's crazy.
And we do a beer with them every single year. So we're always trying to, like, you know, bring people in, do community things like that.
Talk to me about the, you mentioned community twice. Now talk to me about the importance of building a community.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think a lot of it, I think a lot of it just comes from the way I was raised. I mean, I was raised in a small town. I grew up in a church. I'm no longer active in the church. Sorry, Mom. But, you know, it was always a very tight knit for us. I was always, you know, active in Boy Scouts. I was always active in music and school things. And then as I got older and, like, got into college and moved out of my small town, you know, I originally went to school in Lawrence, Kansas. I will still say there was maybe no better place in the world to be 18 years old in 1994. It was just shows. And really just like learning how to be part of a scene.
Yeah.
And you know, that stuff's always just stuck with me. And I will always say that what we can do together is always better than what we can do apart. And so, you know, we're always looking for connections. We're always looking to do things with other people instead of doing it alone. And especially now in the social media age, one of the very cool things is when you're doing these collaborations is you bring your people and I'm bringing my people, and we've got this cross stream
exactly
of people that might not know, and it was free.
Yeah.
You know, all we had to do was say we're doing it.
Yeah.
And then here you go. And it's just for us. I mean, we do a lot of art shows here. We use our backspace to do a maker and art fair 2 or 3 times a year.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah, like next Friday is every first Friday we bring in a new artist, and they have their work up for, they come in for a Friday night. And kind of have their own gallery show. This is a thing that happens all across Lincoln. And then we keep their art up all month. And then next month's new person. And we work with our friends on as many things as we can. Our friend Eric Anderson is a fantastic tattooer. And he's also has a vibe that is no one else's. And is a good dude and lives 4 blocks away.
Amazing.
And so we work with him now on a whole rebrand refresh. But, you know, I'm always looking for connections with people. I'm always looking for somebody that can do something better than I can, somebody who has different ideas than we do. And, you know, it pays off, you know.
Always.
You know,
yeah. Being humble.
And it's like, just fun, man. You know, it's fun.
Making connections with people that know a little bit more than you is something that I've been doing for years.
You know, and one of the things that's hard, I mean, this is very similar. Brewing is very similar to the music industry.
Very much so.
You know, people that are the consumer or the fan see the fun and see the party. You know, they don't see the 8-hour drive.
The load in.
They don't see load in. They don't see load out. And it's very similar in brewing.
Yeah.
They don't see the waiting around for the late truck to show up with your cans. They don't see the you're broken down. They don't see the, oh, the electricity went out and I can't do anything today. Because when we face the public, it's with a smile.
Always.
You know, and no matter how hard your day is, somebody else might have had a worse day than you.
That's true.
And they're coming to the show, and they're coming to have a beer to get rid of their bad day.
They need an experience.
Yeah, right? And so, you know, I think we're here to make people happy. And it's even on my worst day, even during COVID. You know, even when it's hard, you know, it's easy to find joy in it, even on a bad day. So, you know, yeah.
I love that.
Cheers to
that.
Listen to this.
Cheers
to this sweet guy. We're on a heavy metal podcast talking about sweet, nice things.
We're going to have a good night. We're going to keep hanging out here, but not with anyone listening. Sam, this is a true pleasure. I can't wait to get up on that stage and perform in your venue.
Dude.
It's so goddamn cool.
My man, I'm so glad you're here for this. And I've been looking forward to this since we got the whole date.
Hell yes.
Cheers, my man.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, this was an awesome episode to put together, albeit I must admit that I feel like I did not record enough content throughout this tour. It's something that I regret. I had intended to record a bunch of content with so many people throughout the tour, and it just didn't happen. I decided to spend my time with the individuals that came out to the show just to hang out with them, to really connect with them face-to-face without a microphone in between us. And on one hand, I'm super glad that I did that because I made deep connections with these awesome people that I've been talking to for many years and I didn't have a chance to be with because of everything that was happening in the world. Finally back on tour since 2019, I had the chance to connect with so many people that I've been connecting with over the years via the internet and finally together. But I did not record as much content as I planned to do. So I apologize to you guys, everyone that I did hang out with. It was a great pleasure and I can't wait to keep hanging out the next time Cryptopsy comes through. Or if ever you come through Montreal, just let me know. We'll go grab a beer. Massive cheers to you all. And I promise that when I tour again, I will try to record some more so that all of you Vox and Hops heads can get a little bit more of a glimpse into what was going on day to day while I'm on tour. Massive cheers to Andrew Tremblay, Evan Welch, Tony Bellis, and Sam Riggins for sitting down with me and being a part of this episode. I appreciate you all. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's VOXANDHOPS.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week that contains all of the details of everything that has happened recently in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You get to see which episodes I dropped recently. You will get to see which episodes I have coming up. You will get to hear about any projects I have in the works before I announce them to the public. You will also get to find out what's going on in the world of Cryptopsy and with As Gamora Burns dropping just last month. We have a lot of stuff going on, so if you want to be up to date in that, sign up to the mailing list. The mailing list also includes all the details of all the albums that the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed recently, and you will get to see which albums Jerry Monk, Vox and Hops' metal architect, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist. There's always a lot of stuff going on in the world of the Vox and Hops metal podcast, so please do me a favor and sign up to the mailing list because I hate when you miss a single thing. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a killer rest of the week. I will be back next week with another episode on Tuesday. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hey, everyone. This is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week, I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.